Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thanks for listening to the podcast. And a warm welcome to Afternoons with Bill Arnold. I am the Bill Arnold part of that sentence. I am so glad that you decided to join the show today because we're going to have a fantastic first hour. If you have ever mentored anyone or you're thinking, I want to be mentored, I want to be discipled, I want to learn and grow in my faith, you've come to the right place. My guest, Bev Canaris, is going to be joining us in just a minute. She has taught Bible Study Fellowship for years and decades, and she has put a book together called Spiritual Mentoring for Women in Life and Leadership. But I promise you the principles apply to both men and women, because as a man who was mentored by a man, and I know what it's like to be discipled and be accountable and to grow in my faith thanks to my mentor, Mr. Kerry Humphreys, who I hope is listening today. We're going to have that great conversation starting in a couple of minutes. And if you have a question about mentoring, we'd love to hear from you. 877-933-2484. You can call or you can go online and email me, bill@myfaithradio.com, if you have a question. The 877-933-2484 is also a text line. You can also text a question to that line, that number, and we'll get it, and we'll ask Bev whatever you like. If you have questions about mentoring, we're going to get into the basics of it, how to go deeper. We're going to talk about personal discovery and ministry going forward. So it's going to be a great, great hour. So I was at the bank today, and I was doing this transaction with the teller, and she looked at me and she said, "Huh, I think are you a teacher?" I go, no. She goes, "Because you look like a history teacher." I thought, that definitely is a first. That is a first. You know what? Next time I come back, I'll tell you about the War of 1812. I think it started around 1812. I'm not sure. I'm not the guy you want to go to for history. I promise. Unless it's biblical history, then I'm interested. All right, let's take a little break. It's 6 minutes after the hour. When we come back, Bev Canaris is in studio.
Hi, I'm Dr. Peter Kapsner, host of Faith Radio Mornings here on the Faith Radio Network. And on behalf of Faith Radio and to you as the hundreds of friends of the network, just want to say thank you for committing thousands of dollars to the support of this ministry moving forward. Your generosity is amazing. Partnership is highly valued. We really can't do this ministry without you. And so we can't thank you enough and look forward to a wonderful season of ministry ahead, continuing to provide relevant Bible preaching and family-focused teaching on Faith Radio.
Your prayers matter and are heard by God. When you pray, lives can be changed. Each week, the Faith Radio prayer team joins together to pray for relationships to be strengthened, finances to be increased for God's glory, for our leaders to follow God's will, and for so much more. Will you join us? The Faith Radio prayer team, made up of hundreds of listeners, receives an email with each week's prayer focus. You can be a part of the Faith Radio prayer team by signing up at myfaithradio.com.
It's 3 minutes after, or 7 minutes after the hour. I still can't get over the history professor thing.
I don't think you're a math teacher either, Bill.
I can't pass for any kind of instructor of any kind. First of all, I need that sport coat with the leather patches on the elbows. Don't you think? Just to at least look professorial.
And a pocket protector.
That I have. I just don't bring it out very often.
See, that's it.
Oh, I've got that. Yeah, you got to have a pocket protector. All right, let's get into mentoring, because it's a great topic. I don't think we talk about it enough, but we're supposed to go make disciples. So how do we do that? We do that through mentoring. My guest in studio is Bev Canaris. She has been a teaching leader at Bible Study Fellowship for over 30 years and has a great passion for spiritual mentoring for women. She's written a book called That, Spiritual Mentoring for Women in Life and Leadership. Welcome to the show, Bev.
Thank you, Bill. Great to be here. Such a privilege.
It's always fun when you come into the studio. Let's start by trading a couple of scripture verses. You had one and I had one, so let's you go first.
All right. It's the 19th of September, so I turned to Psalm 19, and the very last verse I thought perfect for me today as I open my mouth here to your listeners. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. So that's my prayer for this next hour, Bill.
Don't you love the way it's you're thinking it's the 19th, let's read Psalm 19, and there it is.
There it is.
And you're coming on mm-hmm. the air today, so that's fantastic. I opened my Bible up and came to Ephesians 4, verse 29, that said, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So thank you for listening today. I want to only say what is going to be helpful for building you up according to your needs. So if your needs today is mentoring, and maybe you have mentored someone in the past, we'd love to hear from you how it went, what you gained from it, what the mentee gained from it, because we want to hear great stories and testimonies today. 877-933-2484. But Bev, let's get into the basics of mentoring. You've been doing it and teaching and leading for years on mentoring. So let's start with the basics. What might the basics be?
Well, I think we first have to kind of define it. Mentoring seems to be more of a secular word. Discipleship seems to be more biblical. But actually, I think discipleship is a broader term of this process of sanctification, becoming more Christ-like, where mentorship really speaks about having a specific relationship with a person or a small group of people where you are helping them grow in their faith. And that is, again, discipleship. So mentorship, I think, just gives us a clearer picture of what discipleship is all about. It's taking on that closer relationship with one another for the purpose of growth in our faith and support. There's many different kinds of mentoring situations. But I find a lot of people have questions. I remember before I started mentoring, I often wondered, what do they do when they're mentored? Who asks who, and how does it all get started, and what material do you use, and how do you know what to say, and I'm not ready for that. You know, there's a lot of insecurity with being a mentor. People wonder, could I be qualified to be a mentor? So those are some of the questions I've thought about as I approached mentoring. And I have been doing mentoring, again, over the last 30 years, a lot of it, in a lot of different settings.
Mm-hmm. So I want to get back to some of the questions you had. You said it seems like a mystery. And, you know, the questions that pops up are ones like what happens in a spiritual mentoring situation. Mm-hmm. And I would imagine any person listening might go, am I a good person to be a mentor, or do I need mentoring myself?
Mm-hmm. That's a question you'll have to answer with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But I do feel that you do need to have a level of maturity, not that you're, you know, no one's arrived, but a level of maturity in your own faith where you're able to lead someone, say, 10 years your junior. I think that's an ideal situation. Sometimes it happens with peers. I know I have a prayer group, we've talked about that before here on the radio, and we're all kind of in the same age group, but we do kind of mentor each other because mm-hmm. we're encouraging others on in the faith and supporting one another. So there is mentoring that is going on in that way as well. But today I think I just want to talk about more of a formal situation where it actually a one-on-one or one with a small group starts this kind of mentoring relationship. I think a great question we have to answer right from the get-go here is this biblical? You know, mentoring is not in the Bible. That word is not in the Bible, but certainly discipleship is. And again, those two blend beautifully together. It's just mentoring is a means and a help to understand what we're actually doing in this discipleship relationship. Recently, I heard a medical professional say to me, here's what we say in our field. We say, learn, do, teach. So I thought, oh, that's good advice for us Christians. Learn first. You have to learn yourself. Understand the Bible, some basic principles, understand basic doctrines. Do. Live it. I think it's important for a mentor to be living it as, you know, as we're enabled every day by the power of the Holy Spirit. We're certainly not perfect. And that's going to be part of the mentoring process as well. That's that your mentee wants to see vulnerability and an ability to say, this is where I'm weak, this is where I need help. So it's not that we're perfect as mentors. And then, of course, learn, do, teach. Then as you gather this maturity in your faith, you have an obligation then to pass it on to others. In the Bible, we have Moses and Joshua. And then also in the Old Testament, Elijah and Elisha. Elisha chased Elijah all around the country before he took over. And he was really being mentored by Elijah at that point. And then we have Jesus, of course, the ultimate example with his 12 disciples. He spent 3 years mentoring these 12 men. And that was his plan for this church, to start the church. 12 men, 3 years. And then, of course, we have Paul. The Apostle Paul with Timothy and Titus and so many others. You read the end of Romans and it's one big long list of names of people that he appreciated and worked with and mentored and knew. And Paul was a real people person, and he was always out for any teaching or that encouragement he did was to help people to become mature in Christ. He even mentions that in some of his epistles. Also, scriptures that encourage us. Matthew 28, of course, tells us that, you know, we're to go out and make disciples of all nations. But the part I want to emphasize here is teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And that really requires some personal effort on your part as far as responding to those all those teachings in the Bible, as well as helping communicate it to others. 2 Timothy talks about the things you heard me say. This is Paul speaking again. In the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. So there you have learn, do, teach. Again, turnaround time. It's when we're given a gift, and Jesus told a parable about this. He gave them so much money, and they were to go out and they were to multiply it. And this is what's happening here with mentoring.
I really, that's great, Bev. I love the learn, do, teach. That's going to stick with me because it's so solid. I can't remember who said this, but it's something like, tell me and I'll probably forget. Show me and I might remember. Involve me and I'll understand.
Yeah.
And it seems like mentoring is a little bit of really involving somebody in the study of the Word. I've got 4 copies of Bev's book, Spiritual Mentoring for Women in Life and Leadership. The first 2 callers with questions or comments will be guaranteed to get a copy, and the others who write in with questions or text in with questions will go in a drawing. You can email me, bill@myfaithradio.com, to get into the drawing. And otherwise, we'll take calls at 877-933-2484. If you've got a question about mentoring or you've got a story about mentoring you want to share to encourage our listeners, Bev Canaris is my guest. We'll take a short break and be right back. It's 18 minutes after the hour. Bev Canaris is in studio with me, and she has written a nice workbook on spiritual mentoring for women in life and leadership. And if you have a question or a comment, first 2 people to do that will get a copy of it. And everyone else after that will go into a drawing for 2 other copies I have. Bev, right before we went to break, we were talking about the whole idea of learn, do, teach. And boy, that's the way to get it in your bones, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It is. It's a concise model for us to use when we're thinking about should I mentor, should I not mentor, and what we need in our life right now.
Mm-hmm. And I have a question in studio from Rebecca, but she's not going to get a book.
Aw, nah. I'm not qualified.
Beth said she'd bring you one next time.
Which is very kind of you, Bev. It's always great to have you with us. And I think my question, you came in and we were talking a bit about mentorship before the break, and you said, have you ever been mentored? And I had to think for a minute. Okay, I know I've sat with good teachers, with good female teachers especially, but is there a difference between that traditional Bible study model where maybe it's a group of women around a resource or around the scriptures, and a mentoring relationship?
I would say all the years I taught, I was passively mentoring many women. Just as you apply the scriptures, there's so many things in there that we learn from each other. And so that has been part of my teaching ministry in the past, and I know for other teachers as well. However, I do feel that there's something different about a closer relationship where you really, it's personal. You lay your life out in front of them, and they kind of lay their life out in front of you, either in a small group setting or in a one-on-one setting or even a two-on-one. I mean, this can be very fluid, and it can be what is the need of the time and what God brings to you in your life. So passively, I think that is a mentoring situation, but only passive. That speaker, I didn't know all those women in the audience, and I had no idea how to quite address their specific issues.
I've got a caller on the line. Anita is calling from Chanhassen, Minnesota. Hello, Anita. Welcome to the show.
Yes. Hi, Bill.
You got a question for Bev?
Yes, I do. Bev, first of all, thank you for coming forth on the program. Your book was really enticing. My question really is I have been a certified life coach practitioner for about 12 years, and I've used it more of a hobby, and now that I'm close to retirement, I would like to ask if there's a bridging way, because my heart and my passion and my more spiritual time of my life is really wanting to do more spiritual mentoring, and how do I move from life coach practitioner to really getting expressed through drawing in individuals who are at that point maybe in wanting to have more of that counseling need?
That's a very good question, Anita. Thank you for asking that. I really believe that what you do as a life coach will help you in a spiritual mentoring situation a great deal, first of all. That's going to be a beautiful transition for you. It will probably enhance your own spiritual life as well. I think, you know, as you bring in the scriptures, God's word, into these relationships, as you help them to discover in the word of God what they need to know for their life, it's always more effective rather than here's what you should do, as I'm sure you do as a life coach too. You encourage them to discover the right thing, what would be the best next move for them, how they want to grow. Also, you would have to have mentees that are interested in spiritual growth. You both kind of have to be on board for that. So that would be my recommendation, would just be to focus your life coaching skills, use those, but center them on the Word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then you could delve into her spiritual gifts or his spiritual giftedness. Others' personality tests can be helpful when you're mentoring someone, and encourage them to prepare their life so that they can become a minister as well, someone out there sharing their faith with others. That's kind of the end goal of any mentoring relationship. You want that person to go out and to grow and to be actively doing their faith. Is that helpful?
Yes, thank you. Excellent direction. Appreciate it so much. Bless you.
Thanks, Anita, for calling. Yeah, great call. Bev, let's get back to the basics. Let's talk about how important the gospel is in mentoring, and that's where we need to start, and we need to make sure that our doctrine is good.
Absolutely. This is where I start with people that I mentor. I have them explain to me their testimony. I want to know their story. I tell them my story. Then second on the list, I would be listening the whole time. Is this person truly saved? Do they really know Jesus Christ? And then I would get into what is the gospel? And I would be asking her questions. My book addresses this, and they have to look up scriptures, and we discover what the gospel is. And just to make sure, first of all, in that mentoring spiritual relationship, do they belong to Christ? Because that's where you need to start. If they don't, then that's where you start. you start asking them questions that could lead them to Christ then at that point. But then if they are Christians and they have received Christ, and then you can get into the basic doctrines of the Bible. And this is really important, too, to kind of know where they are in their spiritual walk. Do they understand redemption, sanctification, some of these big words? Do they understand them? Do they have a working knowledge of Scripture as a whole, and then different areas of the Bible? So just to kind of start with those basics, I think, Bill, is mm-hmm. super important.
No, I agree.
Otherwise, you're kind of fishing in the dark.
Yeah.
You have to know those things first.
Mm-hmm. Now, Bev, and I think of 2 Timothy 2:2, it says, "And the things you heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, and trust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others." It looks like the command to be teaching others is pretty clear.
And it is.
How serious are we taking this?
Well, that's just it. I think a lot of us take in a lot of spiritual truth. Christian radio, great way to take in spiritual truth. Mm-hmm. We read our Bibles on a regular basis. We go to church. And we can fool ourselves into thinking we're doing that and we're not. Even women can sit in Bible studies their entire life and they're really not being squeezed out. I think of it like a sponge. Okay, you're a dry sponge. You're getting all this beautiful water, the waters of God's Word and of Jesus Christ himself said he was the living waters. You've got all that water in you. And if you don't get squeezed out and squeeze that out to others, what happens to a sponge that doesn't get squeezed
moldy.
Out, Bill?
Yeah,
and how does that smell?
Stanky.
Yeah, we don't want to be that kind of a sponge. We want to be a sponge that regularly squeezes us out. Anything God gives us is not meant for just us. It's meant to be shared with others. So again, we are to, you know, learn, to do, and then to teach,
mm-hmm.
give out.
Yeah. We're going to take a break in a couple minutes. I have a listener that said, and I don't know if this is going to be clear enough, but she said, "I'm afraid to mentor due to not being good at setting boundaries." I'm not sure what she means by that.
Oh, I do.
Okay, good. See, this is why we have you in studio.
You know why? Because a mentor relationship sometimes can cross those boundaries. You're going to have to set your boundaries. Say a weekly meeting and a weekly prayer request. But what happens is there are personalities that kind of cling and can kind of start just sucking you dry. That's kind of a crude term mm-hmm. here, but I've had it happen
mm-hmm.
where a young woman just started to invade my every minute of my life and calls and this and that and crises, and it can become too much for the mentor. So I think it's good when you do take on someone that you're going to be mentoring is to set those specific boundaries. We're going to meet at such and such a time for such and such a length. Let's talk about what we want to do during that time, and also as far as what we're going to do, and then also what we're going to do outside of that time for each other.
Mm-hmm. We might pick that part of the conversation up after the break. We're going to go to break here in 30 seconds. But if you have a question or a comment about mentoring, or you'd like to know more about it, and you'd like to ask Bev a question, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. You can also text any question to that number. Or if you'd like to just email me, you can email me at bill@myfaithradio.com, and I'll ask the question for you. We'll take a little break and be back with Bev Canaris in just a minute. It's 31 minutes after the hour. Bill Arnold in studio with Bev Canaris. We're talking about mentoring, something we all probably need to have done to us, or we need to do for someone else as we continue to disciple people in the Word. And we're having a lively conversation. Bev, you know, right before break, I was fielding a question from Cheryl, who was asking about setting boundaries. She don't know if she's good at doing that. And she emailed me back during the break, and she said, "I'm afraid that I'll get swallowed up with people's neediness."
Mm-hmm. Well, there is a solution to that, and I think the best solution to that is to always direct their attention back to the Lord. You are not their Savior. We don't want these mentees to become dependent on us. We want to teach them how to go to the Lord with these needs. That's the main thing. It's, you know, it's the old adage of, you know, don't give somebody fish every day. Give them a fishing pole. You need to give them a fishing pole. You need to teach them how to open up the Word of God and to find the encouragement they need for the day. And do not become dependent on you, but on the Lord. And I think that's an important concept to keep in mind as we rub lives with other people in this mentoring relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, give a man a fish and he eats for the day, but teach a man to fish and in a week he'll be ordering pizza.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
These are the way it works. All right, another caller, she remained anonymous. It's a male. My girlfriend is Christian, and so am I. After a year and a half, it's falling apart. Wondering if there's any way mentorship would improve our relationship. If so, how?
Well, that's a new one for me. I haven't thought about it, mentorship as a couple, but I do know of more mature couples within churches or groups that regularly meet with younger couples to help them in those relational issues. It could probably benefit both of you to start meeting with someone a little bit more mature in the Lord with you and to help you kind of sort out issues that have come up in that relationship. So you could be benefited both ways, but probably if you want to try together, that would be something interesting. Maybe there's a mature couple that you know, a godly couple, that and if both parties, you and your girlfriend, are willing, you both need to be willing and committed to it, to meet with a more mature couple, that could be a beautiful mentoring relationship. Or you could go the individual route. That might be helpful.
Mm-hmm. Bev, what happens when somebody approaches you and asks if you will mentor them, and there's a little voice inside of you that says, I can't put one more thing on my plate?
Well, that has happened to me, Bill, and I actually did turn down a young woman, Shelley, and I have regrets to this day. I was much younger and didn't have the experience with mentoring and I was over my head teaching as it was. So I said no, and then some 20 years later, I did include her in a group that I was doing in mentoring, but she remembered that. She brought that. I had forgotten it. She brought it up 20 years later. So think carefully, mature people in the Lord. When you get asked to mentor someone, this person has really stepped out and has asked you if you would consider this. First of all, don't think it's going to need 10 years of, you know, weekly meetings. Think about saying, you know, I would be willing to go to lunch with you. Let's talk about it and see where this could go. You could say, you can set the boundary there. You can say, look, I'd be happy to do that for the next 6 weeks. We'll meet every other week, and then we can pray about where else God might want to take this relationship. So don't think you have to bite off this huge responsibility of this person's life for years to come. There's all kinds of ways to mentor, and sometimes just a few meetings can have a huge impact. There's been older women in my life that have come and gone, and I've just spent limited time with them, but the impact was huge. So I can see you hesitate with that. You can also initiate asking someone to be mentored. I think that's a real a wonderful way to do it. I did that. I had 10 young women. They were all in their 30s. They had all young children, and I had just turned 50, and I was feeling this responsibility now to mentor other young women. I really started to get a passion for that. So I sent out invitations for these 10 women that I saw as potential Christian leaders. And I asked them to come to my home every other week, and we spent 2 years together. And this is the fruit of that is really the book that I've got here today on spiritual mentoring. So you can do it as a group. You can do it one-on-one. It can be set up to make it right for you and for the individual.
All right. Another question, Bev. How do you decide on which mentor to choose? Is it someone you look up to? And how do you initiate that relationship?
It should be someone you look up to because you want to be able to respect them, and you can see they're walking with the Lord. Their families is such that you can kind of see that faith reflected in their home life as well. Yes, I think you go to that person, and again, don't ask for the world. Just ask them out to lunch. If you could go to lunch together, and perhaps you just have some questions about your spiritual life that you would love to run by them. And then at lunch, just ask them, you know, could we ever meet a couple more times? And then just let the Lord work it out. Or someone may come to you and say, you know, can you mentor the us three gals for the next year, meeting once a month or something? Some churches have a lot of programs set up for mentoring groups of women. And that is found, of course, in Titus 2, where it talks about older women must be reverent, and you're to teach younger women how to love their husbands and children. And there's even one here for men. You, however, must teach what is appropriate and sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate. So again, the older and the more mature is to have a spiritual impact on the next generation. I know Deuteronomy says these commands, you're to impress them on your children. And also in Psalm 78, we will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation. Who's that next generation? You know, we're to be telling that next generation all these wonderful things about God and helping and encourage them grow in the Lord. That is an obligation for every Christian. Young or old, if you're in your 20s, you could be mentoring junior high girls. If you're in your 40s, you could be mentoring women in college. Here, we're right next door to this campus. I really have a heart to see a mentoring ministry go on college campuses. Women this age are dying for someone to pour into them, mm-hmm. someone they can ask the hard questions with that can support them in their walk with the Lord, especially in secular environments or Christian environments.
So if you have a mentoring story that you know would encourage my listeners, give us a call. We'd love to hear it because these stories are so powerful to hear how you were mentored, or maybe, Bev, I want to ask you about the fruits of mentorship. You know, what do they look like? If you want to call, please do 877-933-2484. And we'd love to have your input on that as well. So what might be some of the fruits of mentorship, Bev?
Well, first of all, joy.
Okay.
I remember my groups would be leaving, or when I leave a mentoring situation, sometimes it's hard to get there. It's hard to, you know, set aside the time. But when I get there, and then when I'm engaging with this woman or these women, my heart is just overflowing with joy. And then when I leave, I'm overflowing with joy. So sometimes that feeling of, oh, this feels like a sacrifice, is quickly overcome when you actually start doing it. Let me just encourage your listeners. There is such joy in mentorship. And then there is such joy to watch these people you're mentoring start to come alive. It's just like a little tight rosebud that's so tightly closed, and you see them start to come alive, to learn, to take a chance, to step out and serve, to grow in their understanding of who Christ is. You see them maybe start to do a daily habit of reading the Word and praying. You see them actively talking to their families, training their children in the Lord. Oh, that is so satisfying. I absolutely am passionate about reaching the younger women who just want people to speak truth into their life. There's so many lies in our cultures right now. We have to have that voice of truth, which is just a voice that God uses to convey His ultimate truth to another individual.
Mm. Great. Bev, what if you're listening and you struggle with people who are in Christian leadership roles, and I think you have maybe trouble trusting them? And you struggle with the accountability.
Well, first of all, a mentoring relationship is not one where we're the boss of them.
Okay.
As kids would say, you're not the boss of me. Well, a mentor is not the boss of the mentee either.
Okay.
The mentor really has a role here of encouraging and, again, helping them discover truth, helping them do that.
Mm-hmm.
They'll remember it more. They will grow quicker. Rather than just being told, it's discovery is what you want to help them do, discover.
Mm-hmm. What about any fears of feeling like you're disappointing them or letting them down?
Then you say, you know what, I really don't know that, and I will look that up this week. I'm mm-hmm. just not sure
how to even answer.
You have to be totally transparent. Today, people are looking for reality because there's so much, so many lies in our culture right now. And so they're looking for reality, and they want to see the reality of a real faith and what that looks like in a life. That's part of a mentor's responsibility, is to be real, be transparent. If you're not transparent, don't expect your mentee to be transparent either.
You know, a lot of people want to do stuff really, really good. They want to be perfect. So if I'm going to be a mentor, I better have everything all buttoned up. And that doesn't, you don't need to be that, do you?
No, I think that's such a way that the devil keeps all of us from not doing it. We just feel insecure, but you are secure in Christ. If you know Christ, you are to tell someone else how to know Christ. I mean, that's as basic as it gets. You don't have to have a degree in, you know, from a seminary to be mentoring. Mentoring is coming alongside and encouraging, kind of the verse you started with this morning. We're to encourage one another.
Yeah. So Pam Farrell wrote a book, Becoming a Woman of Influence, and you've brought a quote to me from her, which I really like. And the quote is, the goal of discipling is to present every woman or man complete in Christ so they can win others to Christ, build others up spiritually, and send them out in ministry so they in turn can win, build, and send. I like that. It's pretty simple.
It is. It is. And really, that's my life goal, is to leave this world having trained others to follow Christ so that they too can go out and bear fruit. Bill, every on my every prayer list that I make for myself, I pray that I would lead someone to Christ every day. Now, I can't do that. But you know what I can do is use the principle of multiplication, and that is to make disciples, people who will then go out and lead others to Christ, and then they will, those, their people will lead others to Christ. That's what that's all about.
Yeah.
And I can't do it alone.
Bev, I'm going to take a little break. I've got Andrew on the line from St. Paul. We're going to ask him. He's got a question or a comment. We're going to do that after the break. You're listening to Afternoons with Bill Arnold, and I'm awfully glad you decided to tune in today. Bev Canaris is my guest in studio. We're talking about spiritual mentoring, and we're having a great time. Be back in a minute. Thanks for listening today. I am having a great conversation with Bev Canaris in studio. We're talking about mentoring. Andrew from St. Paul is on our studio line. I want to invite him into the show. I think he's got a story for us. Hello, Andrew.
Hi. I was in a purity group for a couple of years, and one of the guys, after we kind of got done with the group meeting, he's been mentoring me for a couple of years now, and it's just really been a blessing to have that, and it's slowly teaching me to reach out and be able to mentor others. And it's interesting how a place of brokenness and sin or failure or that kind of thing can also lead to the fruit of great friendship and great mentoring, and then eventually even just life transformation. So it's been a real blessing to have that.
Andrew, your words have been a gift to the show. Thank you so much for saying that.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it. And Bev, what else could you add to that? Because that's beautifully said.
It really is, Andrew. And, you know, you've been greatly blessed. The Lord has given you a gift in that relationship. And I think that more Christians need to be willing to give that gift to others. And that, you know, if we're too busy to come alongside another brother or sister in the Lord and mentor and encourage them to grow, we're too busy. So I'm so thankful for this man that spoke into your life and how he has helped take what may have been hard days for you and turn them into equipping times now for you. You've been equipped, and now you're sharing it with others. I, as an older woman, I'll say I'm very proud of you.
You know, Bev, in I think it's John 10:27, it says, my sheep listen to my voice, I know them, and they follow me. Obviously, God is the good shepherd. Are mentors, would they be kind of part-time earthly shepherds? Would that be a good descriptor, or is that?
I think that is a good descriptor. Mm-hmm. You know, the shepherd cares for the sheep and you know, is interested in their life, knows them personally. If they've got some hurting areas, they share, you know, they take care of that. So I think a shepherd is a beautiful thing, a beautiful way to put that, that a mentor is a shepherd. It shouldn't add pressure to you that you have to be like the good shepherd, but
right.
You are an under shepherd. Should
yes.
we put it that way?
Yeah, a little part-time shepherd.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's talk about the importance of discipling and mentoring children.
Mm. This is an important area. Moms, dads, you are to be mentoring your children. Don't start looking around for someone to mentor or someone to mentor you if you're delinquent at home. Every day needs to be an opportunity for moms and dad to pour truth, godly truth, into the lives of their children. I'm a grandmother of 10 grandchildren right now, and before I visit any of them, I always ask the Lord, Lord, help me to speak truth in your word and to bring Christ into each little life that I'm dealing with here. So I have my little things that I do for them. And I think being a parent is hugely important. And Deuteronomy says, you know, impress the commands I've given you on your children. Talk to them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. That means daily, people. We're to be daily feeding our children. Are you reading the Word of God to them? That's mentoring them. Are you asking them spiritual questions? Are you pointing to Christ and to prayer when they're having an issue? Do you help them to resolve conflict with siblings using the Word of God? My kids, I constantly said, be ye kind to one another, forgiving one another, even as Christ Jesus has forgiven you. Again, using Scripture, bringing these spiritual principles into that everyday life of raising your children. That's mentorship.
Mm-hmm. What about grandparents?
My favorite subject.
I know that.
Oh.
They're not off the hook on this, are they?
Oh, those 10 kids are just so special. okay, what? Last time I was with them, over Labor Day. I was with 7 out of the 10. And I had read a book about a Navy SEAL, and it's called Make Your Bed. I don't mm-hmm. know if you've heard of this, but it's a great book. It's got a lot of wonderful truth in it about life, but there's no spiritual impact. So, but yet, it's mostly boys, 8 boys, 2 girls. So talking about a Navy SEAL, I had their undivided attention. So mm-hmm. I told him the story about the SEAL and what he learned in this particular situation. And then I took that and I found verses on it and also a biblical character that illustrated that virtue that the Navy SEAL had to demonstrate in that difficult situation. So I took something secular and I boxed it in together with teaching them the word. So I love to do nighttime with the grandchildren. I'm doing that tonight, actually, and I've got my book with me, and I plan to have a spiritual lesson before bed. And I also give them a blessing. I do the cross on their forehead and on their cheeks and on their chin. I do the cross, and I say, Jesus Christ loves you so much that he died on the cross to save you from your sins, and then he rose again, and now he lives in heaven today, and he's always watching over you, whatever the name is, because he loves you so much. And then I do the eyeball kiss. I kiss him on each eye and say, and so does Yaya and Papa.
Mm-hmm.
So I want them to associate the Lord with me. You know, I want to radiate
right.
Christ to them. And otherwise, I'm not much of a grandma. I might be, maybe can bake, but, you know, you really need to put more in
yeah.
there.
Yeah, I don't really see any baked goods in the studio right now, but
no, well,
maybe that's next time.
Yeah.
All right, let's say if people just got in their car and they're going, oh, wait, I want to hear more about this because I've thought about wanting to be a mentor, but I feel unqualified and insecure. Maybe let's just kind of start to recap what a person might be feeling about the idea of stepping out and being a mentor.
Well, you never feel you're mature enough.
Okay.
So get over that. Just set that aside. God, if God is tugging at your heart right now after hearing this about mentoring, thinking, oh, that person just asked me, or I have been wanting this mentor in my life, I think, you know, now's the time. If you have been asked to be a mentor, or if you're feeling led that you know some younger people that you would like to offer this to, I would say go ahead. You will grow with them. You don't have to have all the answers. You can find answers together. But just let your life rub up against their life and show that you care and help them to grow deeper in the spiritual truths found in Scripture. Help them to grow deeper in their prayer life, to develop godly habits in their life. You can do it. And I would just really like to say, too, anybody over 50, you should be mentoring. There's few that have a good enough excuse. You should be mentoring. Either if you're younger, find a mentor. If you're older, begin to mentor others, because there's an eternal investment in lives mm-hmm. that's missing otherwise.
Bev, can mentors who have a desire to mentor, can they do the initiating?
Absolutely. I've done it both ways.
Okay.
I've been approached, and then I told you, I sent out invitations to 10 women, and I mentored them for 2 years. Otherwise, I've been asked other times,
okay.
too.
And you framed it in your invitation as this would be a mentoring group.
Absolutely.
And I would be the mentor.
Yes.
You'd be the mentee.
Yes.
And so then you designed, how much information did you give them just to get started?
Well, we started out with the gospel, and then we went through the doctrines. We went into how to do ministry. We went into spiritual gifts, our time use, so many topics. And very often, our topic of the evening or the lesson, whatever we were doing, we would get a little off topic, and they would start asking me questions because I've been in leadership so long. What do you do in this? How do you do this? And it's life on life. And we had some of the best discussions together like that. And we got very personal, even with a group of 10, very personal together, and really went deep.
Mm-hmm. Now, what would be some topics if you start mentoring, if it's you're mentoring a woman, what would be maybe the top four or five topics that would come up that they would say to you, Bev, I need some help being mentored on fill in the blank? I mean, does everyone who's got kids say, I need help with my kids?
No, not necessarily.
Okay.
Like one woman I mentored 2 years ago, and I mentored her for 2 years. She's in the mission field and a full-time Christian worker. She's now in Puerto Rico. And we spent time together. She wanted to memorize scripture. So I was her accountability partner to memorize scripture. Also, we prayed for one another. And she, because she was in Christian leadership, she really appreciated when I could share from my own experiences. So a lot of that went on. We read books together. We studied scripture together, did a variety of things. But that was more about fine-tuning her leadership skills.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm meeting with a woman currently who wants to go into the biblical understanding of womanhood. So we've been looking up all those passages about women in the passage and studying them, talking them through. She has a different focus than the gal who wanted to be prepared for ministry. So it depends on the person, and that would be a good question. When you meet with this mentee who's maybe ask you or you're asking them, you kind of have to know what do you need here? Where's your direction? What's your interest? It will make it more effective.
Mm-hmm. That's we're kind of running out of time, and I just love this topic. So in other words, the challenge would be find a mentor or begin to mentor someone else.
Absolutely.
Those
and
are your
those
two choices on today's show.
I hope you feel a little nudge.
Yeah, because there is wisdom to be shared. And there's experience to be shared. And if you have been mentored, then it's time to start mentoring someone.
It is. And learn, do, teach.
Learn. I love that. Learn, do, teach. Now, I know we're going to have some winners of your book today. But if I wanted to get my hands on a copy of this and I didn't win, how would I get a hold of this?
You could contact Faith Radio.
Perfect. Yeah. Just email me, bill@myfaithradio.com, and I can help get a copy into your hands. So, Bev, I so appreciate years and years and years of mentoring. So you come with such a history of doing this and loving the women that you have mentored, and I know you've made such a difference in so many lives. So thank you for bringing up this very important topic and putting it back into the minds of our listeners, because it's now time to be mentored or to start mentoring.
Thank you, Bill. It's been a privilege to be here.
It is. It's always fun to have Bev Canaris in studio, and I learned so much, and I know that it's inspiring. It's inspiring to hear that we can really make a difference in the life of someone by teaching them, becoming in an accountability relationship with them, and giving them God's truth into their hearts. All makes for a great life. So we'll take a break, and when we come back, we've got David Wheaton coming up in hour two. I always look forward to talking to David, and then Adam Weber is going to be with us as well, our friend and pastor from Embrace Church in Sioux Falls. That's all in hour two, so you know it's going to be a good one. We'll be back in just a minute. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.